Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Hand Zeus and Mr. Fancy Pants. The Flames need NFL news, and here's their chance. It's ATL around the league. Light a flame, boys. Pigskin's hot tonight.
And good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast, ATL Debate Club Takeover. Dan Hans is here, along with longtime partner, podcast partner, Mark Sessler. What's up, Mark?
How are you? I mean, listen, this is the only way to handle this show. You think, oh, Greg and Wes are on their little vacation to the Carolinas and Georgia. Have a nice time with yourselves.
Tybee Island.
That we would probably, out of fear in terms of running the whole show, have to stack the room with other guests, you know, people down from the new... No. It is the two of us. It is the two of us and nobody else.
fearless. And yeah, you heard that at the very top, a little nod there to Mike and the Mad Dog of WFAN fame. I grew up in New York. Mark, you spent many years in Connecticut. And I, for one, and I think you agree, Mark, would not be sitting here now doing this if it weren't for the Fan, which is New York's sports talk radio station. So maybe in honor of it just being the two of us, a little Mike and the Mad Dog type show on this beautiful Friday in Southern California.
Only way to do it. I mean, yeah, I think that there were flocks of young men back in the day, all my friends. I would literally listen to Mike and the Mad Dog the entire show every day and then just keep FAN on in my room all night long, waking up at like 3 in the morning to bizarre New Jersey Devils updates, Islanders, Rangers. I mean, there's no reason we would be here without them. I hope that WFAN, please don't come at us for the musical rights there.
Yeah.
We're just doing you a solid.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that plays out. And yeah, Mike and the Mad Dog, 1 to 6:30, and then during drive time, and then as a Jet fan, and it was especially cathartic. And after Sunday night's Joe Beningo, who is a diehard Jets fan, would do the overnight shifts. And if you were a Jet fan, that was the place for catharsis, because you would lay in bed at night, and I would have school the next morning, but I would wait for him to come on at 1. And then listen to him bemoan whatever failure Gangrene had gone through hours earlier. And it became that kind of made Beningo's career. Now he's working day shifts for Fan. But for me, that's a major part from an NFL perspective of the Fan is Joe Beningo overnight.
He won that job off a contest, correct?
Right.
And I mean, the one thing about, did you ever call in to Mike and the Mad Dog or any of these guys?
I did a couple overnight calls, but never called the big show.
I often, because you could, I think I got into Mike and the Mad Dog once, and it was to ask a rumor. I had a friend at the time named John Powers, and we were in his basement. I said, let me get on Mike and the Mad Dog here. And I said, guys,
I imagine it wasn't easy to get through.
Oh, no, you're online for like an hour and 45 minutes, and it's long-distance calls back then. And I basically asked Mad Dog, you know, I'm hearing hot rumors out of Cleveland that this guy John Powers has taken over as offensive coordinator of the Browns. I'm going to hang up and listen to your thoughts on this. And they were totally baffled and had no idea where to go with it, because they were NFL guys, but they weren't like it. The scenery was different back then.
Right.
You didn't have anything to log on to and find out who this guy was. Like, I got nothing on this John Powers character. So.
I'm surprised you didn't get told off. You know, Frances, you lost. You didn't get a hang up, but I guess you got off before it could get ugly.
Yeah, I mean, they quickly went to the next caller. You know,
right.
They had no content to offer. So.
Right, so you disrespected the show that we're speaking so highly of, basically.
Yeah, now that I think about it, yes, that probably is true.
All right, so with that out of the way, Mark is going on vacation beginning at the end of this podcast, I believe. He might already be there emotionally. Mark, and are you doing anything during your time?
I know that the myth building of the last couple weeks and months is that I'm right on a plane heading somewhere nice, and I'm
Acapulco,
doing literally
perhaps.
Nothing. Literally, it is not only a staycation. It's one where as a dad, I have my own little personal bank account that is, and little is the operative word,
right?
Where I can go do things like even that is so far down in the dredges that it's like, I'm not even sure where I'll be going. I'll be going to like grocery stores and buying like a 99-cent like loaf of French bread to eat all day.
So a staycation, or are you... Because sometimes you do weird things, and I'm going to call them weird because I don't know anyone who's ever done that. Things like staying at a hotel within the town where you live, things of that, anything like that, cooking just to get away.
I'm looking into that. Now, that comes with a various...
One of my favorite Mark things ever.
It comes with a little bit of negotiation, but when you live in Los Angeles and you don't essentially do anything in Los Angeles because we really don't, like, you kind of could go 12 miles from here into Hollywood and feel like you're in a different
city. That's one way to do it. But if you ever want to do like a ATN podcast history tour through Culver City, the Travel Lodge across the street from the our famous watering hole, the Cozy Inn. Mark Sessler stayed at that Travel
Lodge. I have. You know,
it's just one of my favorite things.
Done that, and there are reasons. Yes, we don't need to dig into that, but it was a very nice place to stay.
You're a fascinating man, Mark. On today's edition. Thank you, Ben. On today's edition of the Around the NFL podcast, yes, it's just Mark and I, Greg, Wes, the Paramore, the Big Fish, Evan Silva, all Tybee Island off the coast of Georgia. So we'll try to track them down and see if they're doing okay. And if Wes is fulfilling his promise he made to me. I don't know if he ever made a promise, but I'm going to ride with it that way, that he will get Greg into some trouble.
I mean, we've seen some photographic evidence out there that Greg at least enjoyed one small glass of red wine. That's the evidence that we have at this point. Maybe much more has happened.
Right. And in honor of our Mike and the Mad Dog themed Friday show, we'll be taking callers from you, the listeners of our fine show here. So we'll take callers later on. But before we get to that, a little light on the news, but there was one big announcement. Oh, yeah. And you know what that is. Listen to that. So big. I love that. It's orchestral. It gets a point that gets the point across that football is a man's sport. But you know what? And Lindsay, you'll agree. It can be enjoyed by everyone, including women. Had to dig myself out there.
That's very true.
I did.
That's true.
And ladies can play, too, if you give them a chance. I put a lady at fullback. Give me a chance.
I've met some women who would make for great fullbacks in other positions of skill as well.
All right, I dug at it. Let me hear that song again, though. All right, so the Cleveland Browns, after really what felt like years of rumors, or I wouldn't call it wish casting, because it's not like everybody wants to see the Browns in a 5-part miniseries, but it always made sense that the Browns would be a good narrative arc to follow for the storytellers of NFL films and HBO because of the Greek tragedy aspect of the organization post their relaunch. And also there's always a fresh start with the Browns every couple of years. And obviously we're in the middle of one right now, but this year, especially Mark, and you as the resident Browns fan, I know that this probably feels like, of all the years, and maybe the Johnny Manziel summer would have been fun too, because there's so much excitement around Johnny Football, even though it turned out horribly. But this feels like a good year for the cameras to be coming to the Berea complex.
Yeah, the timing is right. And I feel like there are people inside the Browns building that wanted to do this in other years, and it would have been like, oh, you're coming off like a 5-11 season. We get it. You're not a successful franchise. But somehow the timing and HBO's patience and the whole combination of it brought us the peak year to come off of. I mean, the chance that you get to chronicle a team that won 0 games last season and won 1 the year before, it's never going to get this bad ever again. So I think the timing is fascinating also because of what's happened during this offseason. There's a lot of new faces. A guy like John Dorsey in the general manager spot did not want to do this at all. I think Hugh Jackson probably does, because we saw he was pretty good with the Bengals. And for him, I mean, his reputation is somewhat in tatters at this point. If he can pull off a bit of a a POV shift where you can say, I'm not the guy you think I am,
right,
over the course of 5 weeks. That is a huge win for him. The risk is there, too, though, for this team.
Well, Hugh is very interesting because when he was the OC in Cincinnati back in 2013 when they had a hard knock season, he came off so well. And I know we talked about it on this podcast, I'm sure, looked at Hugh as a guy that was a fast riser in the industry and maybe a future head coach. And sure enough, he became one. Now 1-31 in 2 years. And I think it's somewhat of a surprise to me still that Hugh survived 0-16. So now he gets the opportunity and we get to see on the ground floor how he kind of approaches what really is his last rodeo. I mean, because he's not going to get another head coaching job if it doesn't work out. Very hard to get hired three times. He already got fired in Oakland. If he gets fired by Cleveland, it's probably back to a staff position as an OC. And I think that's going to be fascinating to watch Hugh with all that pressure, because 2 years ago on this very show, Hard Knocks, we saw another coaching career end. It was Jeff Fisher's. He'll never be a head coach again. And you saw how things could go poorly. But now Hugh does get a chance and we get a front row seat.
Yeah, an improbable one. And you want to find out, because these NFL players, I don't think that it's easy to assume that Hugh Jackson has the room at this point. Now, they're so young that some of them are new to Hugh Jackson. But if you're 2 years into this, like, he's got to somehow win this team over again. And yet, I don't even know if he's the A storyline in this, because when you have not only Tyrod Taylor, but also, of course, Baker Mayfield, you don't have just one quarterback to center this show on. You have both. And with Mayfield, and I think that, you know, you wrote about this yesterday and you put it well, that In New York, the Jets just took Sam Darnold, who looks like you went into a lab and created the perfect-looking first overall pick in Sam Darnold.
Franchise quarterback.
Right.
Central casting.
You know how to scout this. He has ideal hair. He has insanely ideal hair for a quarterback, and it's exactly the guy you would think, except they go with Baker Mayfield, and right away Cleveland took, I thought, a perception hit from a lot of people. A lot of people that don't even watch college football that just say, why did you go Baker Mayfield over Darnold? Well, it's an opportunity for Baker Mayfield, who I don't think will shy away from this. He's at his own reality series already, to show why.
Is that so?
Yes.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
I mean, it was.
What is he doing?
You did not. You really never saw this?
He has a reality show, Baker Mayfield?
I mean, it's not going on now, I think, but it was a lead up to the draft.
I'm just gonna put up a red flag there.
But that's exactly the thing. There's all these things about Baker Mayfield that people say, oh, I don't like this, right, or that, or that story, or that anecdote. He's another person with an opportunity to say, here's why they took me number one. Forget the guy with the good hair.
Yeah, I think he's going to, well, calm down with that. But I think
I'm dead on point with that.
I think that Mayfield will be somebody that's exciting to watch just because, or fun to watch, exciting feels strong, because he is a charismatic guy. He seems to have a sense of humor, obviously is a very confident individual. So he would be a guy I think would be fun to track through the 4 or 5 weeks of the training camp. And one person that's back too, that I'm excited about, is everybody's favorite mean uncle, Greg Williams, back. Like a villain in a horror movie. Just when you think he's dead, he's back. He was on the Rams 2 years ago as the DC. Just bummed everybody out, just screaming at everyone all the time. Just basically exactly what you thought Greg Williams might be like in real life is exactly what Greg was. And he gets fired by the Rams after a miserable tenure there. Lands with the Browns. This is second year in Cleveland now. So we get more of America's mean uncle, and I'm looking forward to seeing him scream at 21-year-olds.
Yeah, I think he's not changed at all, so you're going to get that. And then on the flip side, you have Todd Haley, who
right.
is not known to be, I mean, I think, you know, not the most pleasant of coordinators.
This is not the most cuddly coaching staff.
No, it isn't. And it's like, it's kind of everywhere you look. On top of it, you have the owner and Jimmy Haslam and Dee Haslam, his wife, that they've taken nonstop political and, you know, public hits for all the stuff that's gone on with the team. Everywhere you look, someone's...
Apparently so. This has been a terrible team for their entire tenure.
Deservedly. Yeah. Deservedly so. So it's like, I think either, like, it's going to be kind of, I think we're going to know within 2 weeks, either this is going very well for the Browns and there's a lot at stake here, or it's not. And you meant, I asked you before the show if you thought it was important that they come out looking good, and you had an interesting answer, which you can get to, but
yeah.
I just think it's a little bit of a different pressure on a team like Cleveland than when you dip in on the Arizona Cardinals or the New Orleans Saints or the Cowboys for the 18th time on right. Hard Knocks.
I think that Hard Knocks is a show that all football fans should watch, but not all football fans watch. So there will be a segment of football fans that will remember everything that happens in these shows and carry it with them as a fan experience, and it forms opinions. But I think for most people, it's all kind of forgotten. Like, I really enjoyed the Bucks season last year, and I thought they were really likable and fun and looked like a team that was going the right direction. And then they laid a huge egg, and you almost felt a little bit annoyed by them. But most people don't even remember that the Bucks were the Hard Knocks team. I think the Browns, you know, we'll see. It could they end up looking really bad if things probably, but maybe not. This is an NFL Films production. I think fans like you, Mark, especially you, you're kind of a unique fan from my experience around sports.
Damaged.
You are, well, damage is one word, but you're sensitive to the criticism the Browns get, and you see this as a potential target situation. It's kind of, as a fan, the type of fan you are, I feel like it's a high risk, high reward type star turn for them. But my advice to you is, like, don't get too caught up in that, because people forget once the season.
Honestly, part of me, because the one thing that's embarrassing about rooting, as you know, for a bad team, but even one in New York is different than Cleveland, because the league last year had, and rightly so, had no issue just burying them at 1 p.m. Eastern from week 1 through week 17 with no interruption. Right. They're not on prime time. They're a team that people, when they think about it, it's one of the most embarrassing runs in professional sports history, what they've gone through. And I think by the nature of working in sports, especially working just here where it's all football,
right,
I am way more sensitive to it, because even in May, like, I'm on a chat room all day long with coworkers where every time the Browns comes up, it's like everyone's just taking shots nonstop. And it's kind of like, I can take shots at them. I can be angry at them.
Yes.
But enough with everyone else doing it all the time.
I'm the same way with, like, and I just went to, because I'm an insane person, my 17th U2 concert. U2 is a tremendously...
Last night?
Two nights ago.
Oh, wow.
Tremendously famous, popular band, but they also have an incredibly high number of detractors that hate Bono or just sick of U2 after all these years. Like, and when I'm talking to a U2 fan, we could say, like, oh, we hate that Bono did this, or I hate this album, or they don't make, they're old now, they can't make good music. But it's when some bozo that just hates U2 because they think Bono talks too much or something is just throwing shade at U2, then I'm like, back off. You're not allowed.
Absolutely.
Although you are allowed, but it just annoys me a little bit more. I like to talk with people that are like-minded. I like to be closed off from society. Only people that are like me, Mark.
Yes, that says a lot about your exploratory nature and relationship, so good for you.
So there you go. Hard Knocks, it starts on August 7th, 5 episodes. It should be good. And one other thought I had, I just thought of this, and I think it's a great idea, and I do have a good relationship with the Hard Knocks people because I've been writing the episode recaps for years on this website now, is, as we all know, the Browns training complex is built on an ancient Indian burial ground. This is not confirmed, but just a theory.
Not triple sourced.
That nobody's not triple sourced, but no one has ever come out and said, no, that's actually not true.
Okay.
Whether it be the Browns or the league or even you, let's be fair.
No, I'm from Berea. That's where I grew up. It's not an Indian burial ground.
Well, guess what?
She has to triple source that, too,
I can confirm it's not. I know all about the history. My grandparents
We
lived
operate
there
on a triple
lives.
Source, you know, kind of around here.
I'll give
here,
you those sources after the
okay.
pop.
Okay. And that's exactly what someone from Berea would say. Think about that.
Oh, of course.
Oh, no.
Why would you want that out there?
Come to our tours, you know, see our different sites. We're not haunted. But what I'm saying is, in the event that you're wrong, Lindsay, or you're covering for your town, send, like, do they still do that show, Ghost Hunters?
I mean, if they don't do that show, they do another 12 versions of that show across cable.
2 a.m. Just go in there, get out your little Ghostbusters, Phantom Meters, and, you know, dig around, and then make it the season finale.
I like it a lot. No, the entire final show would just be that of Hard Knocks.
All right, so Hard Knocks coming up in August. Looking forward to that. All right, before we get to the callers, let's make a phone call and try to track down Greg Rosenthal, Chris Wessling, the Big Fish, Evan Silva, the Paramour, perhaps Tiffany Blackman. There have been rumors that Blackman's involved with all this. Let's start, though, Lindsay, if you could help us out with the phones. A lot of phone work. Lindsay, who used to work for a radio station, so this is good rips. Let's call Huckapoo's, see if they're there.
I like that.
Huckapoo's, the famous bar that Wes got drunk at millions of times. What happened there?
That's one way to answer the phone at a bar.
Was that a pickup and hang up?
That was a tad rude. Their website says call for delivery and the number that we just called. I think that are you shunning business away?
Interesting. All right, let's try plan B. Let's give Greg a call. I feel like he's probably the most likely to have his wits about him right now.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's get Greg on the phone somewhere, hopefully in Tybee, unless that's a sign that something terrible is happening in Tybee.
Oh, hopefully not.
Like,
we can ask Greg that.
Die Hard on a island paradise. They haven't done that yet.
It's a good setup. I don't know if I'd have Greg as the main star of that, but...
You win it. Bruce Willis, Greg Rosenthal.
Hello?
Greg Rosenthal?
Yo.
Yo.
Hey, you sound quite different, Greg. Your voice sounds different.
No, I'm just trying to not be rude. We're at lunch. I'm stepping outside right now.
Oh, nice. All right, Greg, what's going on Tybee Island right now? Take us behind the scenes. You're here on the Around the NFL podcast, of course.
Oh, we're live and just rolling right now.
We're rolling, yep, baby.
That's how we do it.
I got Chris Wessling right next to me.
All right, good.
I mean, Tybee Island's a magical place. That's all I can say to describe it. Within minutes of being here, I am was in a totally different mind frame. And I'm never leaving.
I feel like you're leaving something out, Greg.
About my wife could like come down here and dominate like the cooking game, and I don't know what I'll do. I'll just write about football and just stay.
So you're gonna stay on the docks, leave the kids behind, leave the wife behind, or bring them here.
Like, Wes compared it well that it's like him coming here is like an astronaut returning from space. Like within 30 minutes of being there, we're garage drinking. It's like the nicest bar I've ever been to, but it's somehow in the garage of the house we're staying at, and just people are, you know, just randomly walking up and to see Wes like he's like a returning hero.
Are they're kissing the ring for Wesley?
What's up?
Are they kissing the ring?
Don't get aggressive with us,
I'm
Greg.
I'm gonna give you to Wes right now.
What? I was asking a question. Wes, what's up? I was weird. I just asked Greg if the locals are kissing your ring, which is a term to say that they're showing you respect. Okay.
But here comes Cisco. What's going on?
The thong song guy?
How you doing?
I've been wondering where you
are. Wes, question for you, if I can tear you away from Cisco or whoever it is you're speaking to. There is we have a couple photographs have leaked out, and yesterday – one of Greg kind of nestling a tiny glass of what looked to be Merlot, some sort of red wine.
Comically small glass.
Right. Has he pivoted off red wine? Was there a second glass of red wine? You remember, Wes, you made a promise to Dan and to myself.
We weren't counting drinks, but there were way more than one glass of red wine in Greg's hand last night.
Very nice.
Very impressed with you and Greg.
We had him going for probably about a good 8 hours.
That's nice. Did he break away to write a roster reset for a few hours or at any point, or do maybe call? Did he do like a roster reset break at any point? Or
no, he never. I don't think there was any football talk whatsoever. He did call one of the people on the island, though.
Wait a minute. Why? That feels like a rapport breaker.
Well, it was a request from Rosie, my friend Rosie. She requested that Greg say it into the video. And she could show it to this man later.
Okay, so but it wasn't they didn't have a confrontation.
And this guy Jim Glass is a
people
just know about it.
Greg's been hitting the Merlot early. I like
this. This is live radio today. This is not taped. Just to let you know there.
Wow. So it seems like everybody seems to be having a good time. Is the big fish? Has he made the journey upstream to Tybee yet?
They hung up on you guys.
I mean, that's how it goes.
What else do we need to know? I hope the big fish.
I come away from that phone call highly suspicious of both of them.
It almost felt like Greg was in danger. I don't know why. I just get
something was not right at all.
That was not Greg.
And that's not how you treat friends. Number one, we try calling.
We don't need to call back right now. No. Maybe we'll try later.
We try calling Huckapoos. They pick up the phone and hang up on us. And by the way, they spell their name four different ways on the website. Let's get that together. And then we call our coworkers, Greg and Wes, and Greg goes on in a swearing tirade and then shuts down the call on us.
The line cuts out. I'm sticking with the diehard on a resort island angle here that there could be some danger. But I guess we'll find out in a few days if we never see them again.
Yeah, that was concerning. I think the listeners would agree.
All right. So it sounds like they're having a good time or not, but I can't wait till they rejoin us here in Southern California. I guess we should just move on.
They've given us no other choice but to barrel into the next segment of the show.
All right. So as we move on, here we go now. It's, Mark and I grew up on Sports Talk Radio, so I feel like this, Mark, is a good time for us to connect with our listeners who are so loyal and are obviously, as longtime listeners of the show, are smart and have, they think about football in a different way than Joe Q Public.
Absolutely, a different group, and an honor to speak with them.
All right, so let's get it going, and we will start things out here with Matt in San Rafael. Matt, are you there?
I am here.
Welcome to the
hey, Matt.
ATL Debate Club. What's going on,
hey,
Matt? How can I help you?
Well, first, I mean, maybe I'll disclose I'm not Matt so much as I am also Greaves or Greeby Time, the guy who spends too
oh,
much
Greaves.
Time running the subreddit.
Hey, Greeby.
That's how we. What's up, man? We know
a
you.
A legend. What's up, buddy?
A legend in my own mind, but happy to be here. And I also just wanted to call a shout-out. In case you guys haven't mentioned it, I just spent about an hour and a half listening to the Fantasyland podcast about Chris.
Yes.
It is just tremendous, and was also honored to be a little bit of part of that, and it's just incredible. So everybody should take the time to listen to it. It's long, but very much worth it.
That is a great shout out, Greeby. If you go to @FantasylandPod, that's the Twitter handle. They really did a great job, and they spoke with all of us at length, and it was all about Wes's really brave and ultimately successful battle against the Big C. So kind of a real deep dive into the whole journey that Wes went on that you could check it out.
I did find it odd. When I spoke to them, we talked for a good hour and a half. They told me they only needed to talk with Dan for roughly 5-10 minutes. They had as much content as they needed, Greebs.
They need what they need. So, but yeah, the end product was pretty great.
Yeah, check out the Fantasyland podcast. It's great. Anything else, Matt? Anything football related you want to throw out there?
Yeah, just a fun question I thought I would throw to your guys, since you guys both root for two franchises that are sort of historically down on their luck. And I was thinking about, I'm a diehard 49ers fan, so I certainly have had my share of successes. I'm old enough to remember all the good times, it's been a little rough of late, and we've had some troubling moments with our franchise. And I was thinking to myself, what would it take for me to put together a binder of all the reasons I needed to break up with my team? And of course, I never got there, but you guys have certainly had it a little harsher. Like, is there anything your teams could do that would make you have to write a breakup letter to the Browns and Jets in the way that Westling did for the Bengals?
I'll let you start with that, Mark.
I feel like at this point, because number one, not 21 years old at this point, the minute that I put together said binder, for whatever reasons that I came up with, it's the minute they would turn fortunes around and become, you know, good and get on national television 7 times a year. I am too far gone to when Westling did that, and it was a calculated move on his part with a lot of thought behind it. He was a much younger guy with a lot of football ahead of him. Like, I am not going to jump ship now. I would have already had 5 or 6 binders filled of reasons to do it at this point.
Right. From a personal standpoint, wouldn't you feel like it would be the most Browns thing ever for you to bail and then them win a Super Bowl?
I 3 months into becoming a Browns fan, the drive happened. It would have been good to maybe do it then, and I didn't do it. So.
And Greeby, as a somebody that grew up in the New York, New Jersey area, being a Jet fan, it's kind of like the mafia. You're born into it, and there's no way out. Your time as a Jet fan ends when your time on this earth is up. So for better or worse, and I say it all the time, like people, oh, you're a Yankee fan? How are you a Yankee fan and a Jets fan? Usually it's Yankees, Jets and Mets. Well, that was right. Just the sports gods throwing me a bone. They're like, you're going to eat crap for most of your lifetime with the Jets. We're going to give you the Yankees. Give you the Knicks, too, which is a team I'm very quitting on, by the way. They would be my binder team. In fact, that's been formulating for a couple of years now. But the Jets, there's no way out, and I'll never leave. And one day, the dream is, like Red Sox fans and Cubs fans and Browns fans born after their 1950s heyday, that there will be a release eventually. And that's the hope. Greeby.
Awesome.
Greeby, he runs a subreddit around the NFL.
What a job he does.
And I owe you a pullover fleece that will be being sent to you soon because that's the least we could do. Greeby does an amazing job on our subreddit. So thanks, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Keep up the awesome work. And shout out to Lindsay as well, who does equally great work as well.
Yes, so, she does. Thanks. What a class act. Matt in San Rafael.
All right. That got us off to a good start, I thought.
All right. Next
you never know
up.
With these callers. This could go any, you know, go north or south. That went well.
Well, it's Greeby. That's a home run. I think that, like, I would like one caller to be horrible and we get to, in old, like, Mike and the Mad Dog way, just bury them.
Utterly destroy the person.
And then just cut them off. At some point, we got to just cut someone off.
I think even if we get late into this and someone's even pretty good, we might have to do that just for the experience to check that box.
I think you're absolutely right. Up next... let's see who we got here. Mel from New Rochelle.
Hello.
Hey, Mel. What's up, buddy?
Big fan.
Thanks.
Been listening to it on my ride home from work every day for the last 15 years. Love you guys. Thank you for having me
15
on.
15 years. Okay. How can we help you, Mel?
Gonna make this quick. I know you both have spread your wings and had a side podcast. Mark, of course, The Heat and the Light. Love that. Dan, you do the Throwback Podcast with your better-looking friend Bob. Big fan of that one.
I was wondering
if you guys were to have solo podcasts where it's just you and a microphone, what would you talk about? I'll hang up now. I'll listen off the air. Thank you, guys.
Mel from the New Rochelle. Mark?
Wow. I really think the best thing about doing a show is it playing off other people. I think I would quickly get myself in trouble, but I would probably make it about probably kind of close to the Heat and Light context, considering that Heat and Light does not exist at this point and may never return.
It's kind of in hiatus at best.
The medium that we were broadcasting on was a startup that stopped starting up.
Yeah,
it no longer exists, and Connor lives like 3,000 miles away, so a bit of a problem. Unlike you and Bob doing it in the garage, so I think it would take a Heat and Light type feel to it, but I would stay away from the sort of overly pretentious, like 9-episode story pod where there's all these annoying people you're interviewing.
Like a Serial type.
Yeah, pod? Okay. No, not Serial was fine. It just like it could quickly become very pretentious. So I think I would probably cancel the show after one or two episodes, realizing that you're putting a target on yourself.
I do a music pod, throwback pod with my buddy Bob, and I do a sports pod talking football. It would be fun to do like a show where it was more general sports, maybe some pop culture in there and talk movies, music, whatever. That'd be cool. But I'm content where I am right now.
Bob is a good looking guy. Mel from New Rochelle claimed that he's better looking than you.
Right.
Is that something that when you wake up, like guys do at 3 a.m. with the thoughts of life keeping you up? Will that keep you up?
That's the first I've ever heard that.
Oh,
I've known Bob.
There's not a lot of backing evidence.
I haven't heard like a lot of people coming at me and saying that Bob's better looking. So I'm going to assume this guy is an outlier. And let's move on. Right. Up next is a gentleman by the name of Duncan in Fort Murray, Alberta. Ooh, I like that. Duncan?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Duncan. Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
Hey, buddy.
How can we help you?
Thank you. Hey, so my question for you guys, I've been listening forever. I don't think I've missed an episode. Maybe I have.
Long time, first time, in other words.
Yeah. So my question for you guys, what do you miss most about the debate club days? Could be, you know, lifestyle related, could be general NFL related, podcast related, whatever, man.
Okay, that's a good
question.
Good question.
From Fort Murray.
Thank you, Duncan.
Mick Murray.
All right. I think what I miss most, aside from the loss of innocence that comes with before you get married and have kids and stuff, would be just, I guess, the newness of it. But I don't feel like the show doesn't – I'm still excited doing the show all the time, the one we do now. But when we started, Mark, it was really exciting. We owe Damashek a huge debt of gratitude. We always will, because he put us on the back of his show just because he's a nice guy, and or maybe just had time to fill, maybe one way or the other. But that's how it started. And that excitement of having a microphone in front of your face for the first time.
Yeah. And like you go and watch like long running sitcoms, not to compare ourselves to Seinfeld. That's a bit audacious. But the first episode or two of Seinfeld, when you go back and watch it, is super clunky. And I think we had to work a lot to have the show. They were only 8 minutes long, but occasionally would feel 75 to 80 minutes long because we'd have long gaps or we didn't know who was supposed to talk. I remember being visibly nervous, like driving into work before doing some of those. And then it got better and better as you went. You just kind of just did them. But I guess one high point was when Greg Rosenthal, who was living in New York at the time and our boss, you know, at the same time, came to New York, or at least told us over the phone. He's like, guys, like, if you're going to do something like this, if you're going to do a podcast or whatever it is you're calling this thing, how about you do it in a professional manner? And then the conversation ended and I thought, I don't think our boss likes our show very much.
Greg Rosenthal, master motivator as the boss. Up next is Chris in New Mexico, just north of the border. Mark?
Newer than old Mexico.
Yes. Chris in New Mexico, welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up? What you
hey,
got?
This is unreal to be on with you. Anyway, so listen to a podcast by an author named Malcolm Gladwell.
Sure, I love that show.
He did a debate with Adam Grant recently, and Adam Grant had him explain why he always roots for favorites instead of underdogs. And his explanation was that it's the morally right thing to do because the underdog goes in not expecting to win. The favorite goes in with all of the expectations of both himself and everybody else to win. So the disappointment that the favorite experiences when he loses is way higher than what the underdog experiences.
Right.
So what do you guys think?
Well, may I ask, do you root for a specific team yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to get killed for it. I root for the Patriots.
All right. I mean, this feels like it came out. You know, does Greg have a gun to your head right now? I don't know, but that's an interesting theory from that pod. What do you think, Dan?
Chris is part of like the whatever's going on right now in Tybee. Chris is involved
absolutely
in a nefarious way. I think, you know, it's interesting that so they said the morally superior thing is to root for the favorite because of the letdown is too painful for the favorite. That's
right.
The gist of it. That's interesting. I don't know. I feel like rooting for the underdog, you know, speaks to a whole other like host of, you know, human positive qualities that you want. The idea that people can exceed what you expect from them or expect from themselves. But then on the flip side, I'm like a huge LeBron James fan. I just was saying I'm a Knicks fan, but. And I feel this way about other great athletes. Jordan was a similar thing. Tiger Woods is another guy that I've always rooted for, seeing whatever sport they play at the highest level. So I enjoy rooting for those giants. Like A-Rod was a more complicated guy to root for, but when he was Alex Rodriguez in baseball, when he was at his height, you were watching somebody that was kind of a master of the craft. So I kind of like the idea of rooting for favorites, especially individual favorites, but from a team standpoint,
I think
the underdog is more
I think
fun.
It's an interesting theory to say that also that the consistent winner, it has a lot more pressure packed into their weekly, you know, work, especially when you get into the playoffs, because of the expectations and the fact that you're assumed to already get to that high standard. And I remember even, you know, covering some Super Bowls where as a human being you're naturally sort of pulling for one of the two teams, and when you feel that potentially slipping away, it's a way different feeling than watching your crappy football team just get waxed in week 5 by Cincinnati or something. That said, though, here's where I challenge the theory. Most people, if you pick up a team as a kid, unless it's, you know, put on you by family, you pick a team that's a winner. Kids don't naturally at age 5 or 6 gravitate towards losers. But if you stick with that team, they're going to go through ups and downs. So let's say if the Patriots suddenly, and they will, become a disaster at some point in the caller's life, do you suddenly jump ship to the new team of the day or whatever team is good every year because we're claiming that to be higher moral ground? I have a problem
with that. Speak to that, Chris. Chris is gone. Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Chris. I'm wondering how Chris became a Patriots fan in New Mexico. But then again, we met like a 7'6" Taiwanese man at our last tweet up in Minneapolis that became a huge Patriots fan.
So. Yeah, I think like probably if you're a great team for roughly 20 years, you're pulling people in from, you know, all 50 states.
That's not an exaggeration, by the way. He was 7.5 feet tall, the man.
A delightful gentleman to speak with as well.
And if he's listening right now, it was great to meet you.
We love you.
All right, let's keep going. Will in Charlotte up next. Will, you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Zeuser?
Hey, what's up, Will? What's going
William.
On?
That's right. Just want to say, what's going on, guys? Big fan. I've introduced a lot of people to the podcast. I got
That's a good Jeff, job by Joe, you, Will.
That's right. Jeff, Tom, and Joe listening. Of course, apple cider vinegar. That's me, Mark. You're my boy.
All right.
Apple cider vinegar.
How you doing? Good to hear from you. You're the man.
I want to play a game of what's more likely here.
Ooh, fun.
That's right. So,
I mean, are we cool with Will, even though he's got the apple cider vinegar angle here? Are we cool with him kind of putting the show in his own direction? Are we okay with this?
I think it's daring. It shows some you know, real
era onions.
I think so. I think that we're going to go with it.
All right, we respect it. Go on.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate that. So
it means a lot, I'm sure.
The Browns and Bills combine for 9 wins or more.
They combine.
Yep.
Okay.
9 or Mark pays off all his sandwiches.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Well, okay, because if you look at what I actually owe in sandwiches, and earlier in the show I bemoaned the fact that I'm taking a week-long vacation and literally probably not leaving my house due to lack of funds, the idea that I would buy anything more that at this point than a round of sandwiches is highly improbable. And I think the Browns and Bills could both be essentially the dictionary definition of crappy and each turn out about 4 and 5 wins. You know, one does 5, one does 4, and we're there.
So you got to get at least 9. And for the record, Mark will never pay off his sandwiches just because we wouldn't make him do that, because he's been so poor at the go-get-my-lunch game that if he were to pay off all his sandwich bets, his children would be pulled out of school. You'd move into a really run-down apartment complex.
Or like a YMCA.
So we don't want him to do that, but you know what? And it's good, Will, that you brought this up. And since you brought it up, Mark, it would be fair, I think, that now we're not asking you to totally pay up, but maybe throw us.
I like at this point that you guys are trying to handle this in such a gentle manner that you're sort of walking on eggshells around the fact that I've done such an awful job of delivering on the sandwiches. It is on me to do it. It will not be happening next week on vacation, but I have so little money right now that I literally don't even have a car, so I need someone to drive me to a sandwich shop to pick that up. So if you can drive me to any sandwich shop that you wish, I will purchase
even
sandwiches.
Even if it's a banh mi?
Excluding banh mi's.
All right. Will, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Will.
Absolutely, guys.
All right, we'll take a couple more, and then we got to get going. Let's up next. I think I know who this is, actually. Up next is Jason in Kingman. Kingman, I believe, is a community in the state of Arizona.
That it is.
Hey, what's up? What's going on?
All right, this is Zumwalt.
This is Zumwalt. How are you?
What's up,
Jason.
Buddy?
Jason.
Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast. And if you do go all the way back, Jason, by the way, a very talented writer, actor here in Los Angeles, also occasional contributor to the Throwback podcast. And once upon a time, during the early days of the ATL Debate Club, did some voice work, which
yes,
maybe we'll get to in a minute. Jay, first of all, how are you, bud?
I'm good, man. Completely forgot about this call. Was inside watching Doctor Strange with my family. And,
your family, you have a toddler and an infant.
Check my phone.
Wait, you gather the family around at 11:56 Pacific time to watch Doctor Strange with everyone?
Every
interesting.
Every single day.
Okay.
It's an interesting situation.
Just a bit.
That's a little weird, but it's fine. Jay, well known, at least by me and people in your circle of life, that you're a Cardinals fan. You got anything on the cards?
Yeah, I mean, number one, I hope Josh Rosen doesn't play this year. But I think we all know he is eventually going to, just because Sam Bradford is made of glass.
He is. We brought up Bruce Willis earlier. We brought up Bruce Willis earlier because there might be a Die Hard on a resort island situation going on in Tybee right now. But you, when you mentioned Mr. Glass, yeah, that is Sam Bradford's kind of the Samuel L. Jackson without the murderous rage within.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how you know people think he treated Carson Wentz. There seemed to be some murderous rage there. He seems to have changed his tune with Josh Rosen, but
yeah,
he didn't seem to be too hot on being replaced by with Wentz.
So you want? Yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, I think this is one thing because a lot of people are talking about our offensive weapons and how, you know, John Brown is gone, Jerron Brown is gone. We of course have Larry Fitzgerald and we have David Johnson, which is, you know, can't really beat those two. But I think that people should not sleep on Chad Williams. He's the I think he's a second round pick from last year, and this is something that Darren Urban, who's the beat writer for the Cardinals, he said recently on a podcast. So I'm just totally ripping him off.
Sure.
But last year he was not really expected to play much. He was, you know, like sixth in line in a stacked roster. But this year there are expectations on this kid, and he's got a lot of natural talent. So I think that's a name we should
so you feel
all
good because
keep
I
paying attention to.
We, yeah, so keep an eye out. Aaron Williams, you said. So
Chad
Williams, sorry.
Thank you, Jason, for bringing literally the only football analysis to this entire episode, by the way.
Nicely done, Jay. But
I love it.
Right before the draft, and Mark, you and I were at the combine, and I remember seeing Steve Wilks, and he was facing the media and didn't have a lot of positive news or a lot of optimism around this team that he had inherited from Bruce Arians. And I remember thinking, oh, what a bad spot for a new head coach without a quarterback, replacing a guy that's a very well-liked, popular figure in the organization and in the league. And I thought the Josh Rosen, I think that really changed things for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And what Jay's saying is give him a year on the bench. I don't think they'll even have the opportunity. Well, I know they have Mike Glennon on the roster still, but Sam Bradford's going to get hurt. So it's just a matter of when the opportunity is going to come to replace the injured guy. And it's going to be hard to not put the rookie in. I think you're going to see like at least 8 games, whether you want him or not.
I think a couple of these rookies will be anointed by the end of August. And you just, because Sam Bradford, whether or not he gets hurt, just also feels like the guy that, depending on how it goes, could just get benched at some point too. I like Bradford, but it's just that that's sort of what's happened to him over and over.
Yeah,
I'm giving Bradford 6 games this year. I think Josh Rosen is going to start 10. My biggest fear, especially as an Arizona Cardinals fan, is just that offensive line. I don't care. It just seems no matter what we try to do with it, it just gets decimated. I love Justin Pugh. I think he's a great addition. I actually really love, I think it's our 3rd or 4th round pick this year. He seems to be like a real solid guard. But it's tough.
It's hard to build a line. Like
James
people
Taylor coming from the Browns.
The offensive lines in general, like you hear fans or people in the football cognoscenti.
There
get mad at teams and say things like, oh, why didn't they do anything to build the line? Well, there's very few guys on the free agent pile that are worth a damn, and it's a bad draft class, just like it was a bad, it's hard to get, we have a dearth of offensive linemen. So
I like that Jason also just, by the way, dropped news of a Browns Cardinals trade that sent cornerback Jamar Taylor to air. It's literally as if
can we please not break down
it's
that
it's
trade?
As if we are two just guys talking on the phone who actually dialed out to someone who's paying attention to the NFL. That's what this call is represented.
Jay, before we let you go, from the ATL Debate Club, we had a very short-lived bit called, well-known character actor, famous Hollywood legend, Christopher Walken. What if Christopher Walken was... what was it? Analyst?
He was a diehard Giants fan, and he had a segment called Walking with Giants.
Yeah, so before we let you go, Jay, how about a man of a million voices, Jay Zumwalt, the latest edition, and perhaps the final edition, of Walking with Giants. Take it away, Christopher.
Pow! It's me, Chris Walken, and I'm walking with two heroes, not just giants. I'm walking with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler. I mean, we're here to talk about that new hotshot that's landed right there, draft pick. Everyone wants to know, how's he going to do this year? Of course, we're talking about quarterback Lorelai David.
Wait a second, Chris, we all thought you were going down the road of Saquon Barkley, the star running back that is expected to transform.
I'm talking about the quarterback, Tim Lualele.
Oh, no.
Going to replace Manning. Going to happen.
People say they feel like they found a guy that could be an heir apparent in that quarterback draft pick.
A lot of people,
he may be right.
A lot of people would be surprised that Christopher Walken had a deep knowledge of the depth chart in the Meadowlands, but that's just your thing. You've always been a huge Giants fan, Chris.
Jimbo Lualo is going to nail it. I actually don't even know the guy's real name.
Well, that was very nice. That was good to talk to Walken. Nice work, Jay.
Just ridiculous.
Jay, get back to scarring your children with programming that they're probably not ready for.
Yeah. I want to make sure that my children never sleep. That's basically what I'm doing.
Jason Zumwalt. Wow. Follow him on Twitter, at Jason Zumwalt. Bye, buddy.
Bye. See you guys.
See
you.
All right. We got time for what do we got time for? I think we only got time for one more. Maybe we should go to the newsroom. Reach out to a gentleman that fans of the podcast know well. He's a guy that he has his own rooting interest in the Carolina Panthers. And he also is a guy that's looking for love.
News desk.
Can I speak to David Ealy, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So here we go on a line drive kick.
NFL, it's David.
Dave!
What's up? How's it going?
Hey, Ely.
Welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast.
How are you guys today?
Doing all right. So we're up against it. We got the 2020 Flash coming up in a second. But I wanted to touch base with you. You are, more than anyone else I know, a man over 30, being super plugged into the ABC program, The Bachelorette. And you had some hot takes bubbling up yesterday, and I said, well, we're going to be doing a call-in show, so do you want to get some hot takes out there, some questions, whatever, about The Bachelorette?
Oh, obviously. I actually wrote some notes down in preparation for this.
All right, let's calm down a little bit, but yeah, what do you got?
All right, so there's a lot of football crossover for this season of The Bachelorette. You've got two former players and then a football analyst. Pro Football Focus's Mike. I don't know his last name, but just we're calling PFF Mike for this.
Right.
So first, all right, Colton Underwood. My question is he there for the right reasons? he's not only for a few years, but he gained notoriety when he sent Allie Reisman, the Olympian from the gymnastics team from 2016, a video asking her out. To me, that screams attention seeker.
So you don't think he's there for the right reasons?
I do not think he's there for the right reasons. I think he wants the fame, the notoriety.
Wait. So unlike other people on The Bachelorette, he's seeking attention.
Yes.
Okay.
He is not there for Becca. He is there to be on television.
Ah, she's not his focus.
Who is this gentleman again?
Colton Underwood.
Oh, right.
He is a practice squad player. He bounced around a little bit. He never appeared in a game. Unlike my guy Clay Harbor. So he's a former football player, played tight end for about 7 or 8 seasons, I think. 114 career catches, 8 touchdowns.
Hey, that's a real career.
Hey, we've written posts about Clay Harbor before.
I know. He's been in some transactions. I bet you've written a story about him. But, yeah, so he's a real player. I think that definitely means that he's going to get he'll win an elimination at one point. He'll get a rose. But my big red flag for him, he has an 0-2 career record in the playoffs.
Interesting. So you think when the leaves turn color, when the relationship starts to hit to the next level, when you really got to seal the deal, you worry that he won't be able to do it?
Yeah, I feel like the pressure of a 2-on-1 date would kind of get to him. So
Dave,
I wouldn't necessarily think that he could come through in the clutch on there.
Dave, I got to be honest. When you describe the show in such an intense way, you sound dreadfully lonely. What else? You have anybody else?
The show comes on Monday night. Monday night's not like a hot date night or anything like that. I can be at home by myself with a dog and enjoy the show. It's no big deal.
Okay, no, I wasn't hating. I was just saying there's an intensity the way you're talking about other people's fake love lives that leaves me with some questions. But anybody else that you're scouting for the new season of The Bachelorette?
Well, I guess we should talk about football Twitter's favorite guy, PFF Mike, right now. I saw everything I saw on my account yesterday was just people rooting for Mike, talking about Mike. It's like the whole industry wants him to do well on the show. And yeah, I think like he does seem pretty normal. And I mean, shoot your shot. I don't know how long he's going to last on there. I mean, I'm rooting for him. He has really long hair, from what I could tell from his profile. I give about over under 5 hair references for him when he's on the show.
I can't – I'm trying to figure out, and it's Mike Renner, at PFF underscore Mike. I think he's a listener of our show. I think he follows us all on Twitter. And I had never seen him before. And then I see this Bachelorette stuff, tremendously good-looking man. And just the whole PFF vibe, Mark, is a little strange. You have this, like, super hot dude. You got people in Ireland. You got people in England. You got Chris Collinsworth lording over everything.
There's a lot going on.
Offices are in Cincinnati of all – I mean –
By the way, he follows us on Twitter, and we follow him. So it's like we are, you know, in many senses, he's my front runner. I'd be rooting for him.
Oh, yeah.
Does PFF lose him as a contributor if he wins this love contest?
You're saying if he wins the rose?
I mean, typically, if you win this thing, you vanish into reality television realms, and you're hot property for 2 or 3 years, or maybe 14
weeks.
Months or so.
Weeks,
well,
months.
Here's my question. I mean, because when was the show taped? So did Mike have to miss out on free agency for this? Did he miss out on the playoffs, Super Bowl? I mean, what's your priority, Mike? Your job or love?
Okay.
Well, we know, Dave, where you put your priorities between those two, according to the stories that are out there.
And I
I don't know what you're getting at with that. I mean,
Dave, I can't
can draw your own conclusions as you want to.
And I can't help, Dave, but notice I've been checking your Instagram and I'm not seeing anything new with you. And we're talking about the Bachelorette. Possibly, do we need to do something with our own audience? We have a lot of female listeners. Set something up to help you out in this game of love.
For all the female listeners out in the LA area, my Instagram handle is at David Ely. Oh. That's DavidEly. Oh. If you want to scout or anything, I have a nice dog. Oh. I like to think I have a fun life. That could be your life, too.
I mean, all right.
Just the intensity in his voice.
It's very intense.
You gotta tone it down, Dave.
You know, you gotta emphasize for the show. I mean, like, this is a
shoot
audio
your shot.
Medium. This is a visual platform.
Dave's a good-looking guy. He's got a solid bod, and he's got a symmetrical face. You could go a lot worse than Dave Ely.
Back in the day, Ely, there were times when you would allow me. I don't know what the service was. It wasn't Tinder. It was something where you allowed me to at an establishment. Take you in a conversation right to the brink with like a local female, and then I would hand over the account, and then I'd ask, "What happened? How did the date go? The date didn't happen, or it didn't? What exactly is your strategy, Dave, to kind of close the deal and get on a date with any of these women?"
I mean, now it's going to be start selling the fact that I have a nice spot and a symmetrical face, I guess.
There's got to be all right.
You deserve it, Dave.
Okay.
We'll find you somebody.
Yeah.
If you want help, just let us know.
Danny, gonna be watching this season?
I think I might plug in. Yeah, because
you plug in. What about you, Mark? You gonna watch
Clay Harbor? Listen, I mean, I've written posts about Clay Harbor. How do I not track this part of his life? I must.
And I mean, Mark, what do you think about a Tuesday recap about the NFL ties to the Bachelorette this season? I could make that
happen.
All
right, let's cut him off.
I have that power.
Yeah, I think that's not going to be happening at all.
All right, Dave. Thank you. We'll see you in a little bit.
All right, talk to you guys later.
All right. We could try to call Tybee back, but I just feel like, I don't know, what else needs to be said?
I mean, I feel like they kind of stated their intentions with 2 extremely rude phone calls. One that didn't even start because the bar doesn't decide to take our call.
All right. So I hope everything's well in Tybee and everybody gets back safe and sound and Wes fulfills his promise to get Greg into some trouble. Thank you to everyone for listening. And Lindsay still has not come back with any more sources about her claims that Berea is curse-free, but... You know,
I'm going there this week,
right.
And I might just do that whole 2 a.m. ghost walk just to show you guys.
The burden of proof is on you at this point,
yeah.
So that would be good.
Okay.
Good
we'll
work on the phones, by the way.
Well, you can see
Lindsay
why she's a radio veteran.
Years in Cleveland as a radio vet, and look at you, just a shooting star.
Not easy to do here with our top-of-the-line setup, but
shots
we made it
fired.
Through. We made
yes,
it through.
Shadow League figures,
nothing
and I like
but
that,
the
too.
Best.
All right, we'll be back on Monday. I think next week actually is our last week of 3-a-week shows before we go 2-a-week leading toward training camp. But, yeah, we'll be back on Monday, hopefully with everybody in tow. Until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for The Quiet Storm. And yes, Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Not the Mink Man. Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Until Monday. See ya.